Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we have a super interesting guest on with Don Anderson. Now, Don, you are the CHRO of Butler Snow. You are a nationwide law firm. I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But you, as a CHRO, have a really strong point of view that a CHRO should have a good business background. And obviously, for your profession, a good legal background. So you're actually a licensed attorney, which I think is fantastic. You're active in the community and Boy Scouts and the Board of Red Cross. You've got a lot to say that I think we need to listen to here today, but I don't think that I did total justice to your background there. I'd love to turn it over to you before we get started, and maybe you could just expand upon that just a little bit.
Absolutely, and I'm delighted to be here today. Thank you so much for having me. I have been in the human resources world for longer than I want to remember, but 30 years probably, and it's been a fascinating adventure throughout the process. I started out in manufacturing, moved into distribution, back into manufacturing, and then ended up in the world of law firms about 14 years ago. And I've found through the years that having the MBA and the legal background have been really helpful because I can speak the language of the businessman, but I can also help navigate the tricky waters to avoid liability for organizations while helping our employees reach their potential. So it's always fun.
Well, good. What we want to talk about here today is, with that diverse background, how do we overcome challenges? How do we handle things that are controversial? How do we come out successfully and have a point of view that says, here's how we do these kinds of things? So I'm going to start us out with a question here for you. And that is, you talked a lot about, when we met before, challenging the status quo. I'd love to get your point of view on that. What does that really mean?
That is always a challenge. It's even more so in a law firm because lawyers' whole world is based around precedent. So a lot of what I find myself doing on a day-to-day basis is listening and learning and trying to figure out what it is that we're trying to accomplish. For example, with my last firm, it was several years, quite frankly, before I could insert myself in a meaningful way into their compensation process. We started out slowly by, we could do it that way, but here's another way. And learning what you're trying to accomplish, because whether you're in a manufacturing, sales, distribution, or professional services environment, your internal client knows what they want to accomplish, but they may not have the best idea on how to get there. So they may come up and go, we're going to fire everybody, we're going to do this, and well, we could do that, but there are some risks. What is it you're trying to get to, and why don't we try this? So, for example, in that first law firm, my first experience in this area, I listened to them, I watched the process, realized that there were a lot of ways we could improve and make it more efficient. So I was able to sit down with them and go, what is it you want to recognize and reward in this group? Is it productivity and quality of work, quantity and quality of work? Got an agreement. What are the measures of those two areas? Can we agree that these are objective measures? Yes. Let me model something out. So taking that, modeled out the whole merit increase bonus structure, brought it back to them and said, okay, here is a proposal. Here's additional funds set aside to recognize and reward those other accomplishments that don't fall into that. What do you think? And the response was, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And this usually takes us days. And we wrapped up in a couple of hours. It was a process I could explain to the employee and, if necessary, defend, if ever challenged. Whereas otherwise, it felt a little bit like it was behind the curtain and no one knew what the wizard was doing. But if I walked in and said, you're doing it wrong, I never would have gotten anywhere, particularly in a professional services group. Let's face it, we are surrounded by incredibly smart people They have very sincerely held beliefs, shall we say. It's a lot about change management. I'm a big fan of the ADKAR model. And the first step is getting people to be aware that there is a need to change. If they've always done it that way, they don't know that there's another way and a better way to do it. So building that awareness is critical. And in order to do that, I have to understand their business and I have to speak their language. I had to reinvent my language when I moved into professional services because, quite frankly, most professional services don't see themselves as a business. I would argue that you are in multiple states. You have all these lives you're responsible for as employees. You're a business. But they don't see it like that. I have a practice. Okay, but it's still a business. So I had to learn not to use terms that sounded corporate-y or HR-y. And I had to use the words that would resonate with them. And that's critical.
It's a couple of things I want to call out there. One is the IRS probably sees them as a business too, when you pay taxes. What I love about what you did, I love that your analogy is change management. As HR professionals, that's one of the biggest things that we can do. Talent, huge. Retention, huge. Culture, huge. But as companies grow and bring in new people, there are constant changes that are happening. If you're not managing the status quo to the desired outcome, and what you did at the beginning is you allowed them to have their fingerprints on it. You asked them what was most important, what the desired outcomes were going to be. So therefore, without having to require too much of their time, you got the most important things out, so that your change management recommendations coming in were all tied to what they wanted to accomplish.
You can't make any changes in any of those areas you spoke of, recruiting, talent match, any of those, without the change management. We're in a different world. It is no longer a build it and they will come talent selection model. There was a time when you didn't have as many choices, and so people were coming to the law firm and you were the employer of choice. And that happens with a very few select groups, but most of us are competing for the talent that's out there.
Yeah.
And post-COVID certainly taught us that the workforce is now incredibly mobile. So you cannot sit on your laurels and wait for people to come. It's not the post and pray kind of recruiting strategy. But in order to get the leadership to understand that, you have to build that awareness. You have to start that change management. If you can't exercise change management and leading through influence, you're doomed to lose all your hair and find yourself sucking your thumb in a corner somewhere going, I give up. You've got to master those skills. You're in HR. You've been there. It's like, oh my gosh, why can't they see this? Well, they can't because they've never experienced. They don't have the experience, the exposure, or the 90,000 foot view we have. The reason I love HR and I'm very passionate about what I do, I never wanted to practice law. I always wanted to do exactly what I'm doing. I get to touch every aspect of the business and every aspect of the employee's life cycle. And that is an incredibly powerful, strategic, and fun place to be. It's rewarding watching the tweaks that you may impact the business or the person and change their direction into a better direction.
I love that. You make it sound easy, but I know there's very specific challenges, especially inside of law firms and legal services. I'd love to hear what you think those challenges are, and then at the same time, how those challenges are learning for any HR professional leader that's on this, listening to this podcast.
One of the biggest challenges, is particularly in a law firm environment, is learning their business. For a firm as large as ours, we have so many practice areas. We are a great law firm, we're a defense firm, but our practice areas run from labor and employment to government regulatory to real estate to transactional to product liability to transportation torts. healthcare law. We've got, I think, over 25 different practice groups. Each one of those is a business unit. So I had to learn what kept them up at night, what drove their business, what their business cycles were. Because in this area over here in product liability, it may be slowing down at the year end, but down the hall in real estate, they aren't sleeping. They're just going 90 to nothing, trying to get everything wrapped up because that's when it really hits. That's their peak. So I have to learn to adjust my initiatives. I have to learn to anticipate their needs around what their business is. That's the same in manufacturing and sales and distribution. You've got to learn what are the peaks and valleys. You've got to understand the operations, because if you just toss out theoretical human resources mumbo jumbo and it doesn't hit at the time it's needed, it's not going to hit. They talk about in operations and manufacturing the just-in-time inventory model, where you're getting the products exactly where they need to be when they're needed. So you're not wasting resources tied up in things you're not using. HR has to be a little bit of that as well. We have to know and anticipate when the business is going to need the resources. When are you going to have time to get that compliance training done? When are you going to need the influx of people? How are you going to manage through the year end for human resources is generally insanely busy. So knowing that and anticipating that someone's going to want to hire 5 new people, someone's going to want to, let's bring on an acquisition in the end of the year. We'll start at January 1st. That's no problem for anybody, is it? Oh, sure. So figuring out how to get the flow on the day-to-day and those apps, and anticipating what's going to happen coming down with the other sides of the business, whether it's a law firm or manufacturing, you're going to have a lot of some hurry up and wait, but there's some things you can predict. And you know all the manufacturing is going to want to hit it hard the first week of January, and they're going to come in wanting all these people. How am I going to anticipate that?
So here's 2 big takeaways that I got from what you're saying here. Is one, you have to understand the business of the business. If you don't, how can you understand the needs of that business? How can you understand the talent's going to fit properly into that business? How can you understand the cycles of the business? These are all the things that you were saying more. The second one was, here's the picture that I got, was that you were thinking like a marketer. I have to understand the needs of my customer. Your customer in HR is all the different lawyers, all the different practice areas. They are your customer that you're serving first. So if you're not talking with them and you're not understanding their needs and their cycles and everything, you're not fitting into the bigger picture of the business and the individual needs of the different departments, practice areas inside of the business. Is that a good takeaway from what you were saying?
It is. And there's one more layer on top of that, because you've got individual clients that have their specific needs for their business unit, in my case, a practice group. But you've also got to the broader picture of it might be great for this particular practice group or this particular department. However, it doesn't necessarily support the goals that have been set by the firm as a whole. And HR is a tightrope that goes in 3 directions. So the tightrope's not the best analogy, but I can't come up with a better one. You are balancing the needs of your managers, your internal clients. You're advocating and protecting for the firm. You're also protecting and advocating for the employee. And you are constantly finding that perfect balance between all of those. And it's not easy being the warm, inviting, trustworthy confidant and advocate for the employee, but also protecting the company or the firm against liability. It's hard sometimes. Or you've got the person that really wants to hire somebody to add to their team, and you're going, we have internal resources that could do that. I can't support bringing on a new person just because you happen to want them there. That is challenging, but on the flip side, if you open up to it, I have found the human resources and law firm administrator community to be incredibly supportive. Literally had a call this morning from a colleague that said, hey, help me think this through. What are my alternatives? How would you do this? And I do that all the time. I have a tribe, the people I've worked with for years, and we are each other's sounding board and encourager. Human resources, especially at the higher levels, is one of the most loneliest jobs on the planet. You really have to be careful to keep the relationships extremely professional because you may have to make some difficult decisions about that person. I've had to lay off one of my best friends. She was in-house counsel and we both knew it was coming. She was saying, I wrote the severance agreement. Thank you very much. But it's still difficult, even though both of us walked into that room knowing that it was outside of our control. There had been a takeover by a private equity and they were doing a lot of downsizing. It's still hard to have relationships because you may be having to make some difficult recommendations about that person later on down the line. There are so many things you can't share with anyone else in your organization. You can't bounce ideas off of because you're it. And the rest of the department heads and the directors and the chiefs are looking to you for that level of confidence and expertise. So there's not a lot of people to say, what am I missing here? Or am I overreacting or underreacting in this situation? So I think it's critical to have that team of people that you can call and say, so hypothetically, how would you handle this? Have you ever experienced this? And I'm fortunate that through both SHRM and my contacts in human resources and Association of Legal Administrators, I've got such a huge network across the United States that we stay in touch. I literally, the second holiday card I got this year was from an HR manager from my days at Genuine Parts Company that must be 23 years ago. And I get a Christmas card from her every year.
Yeah, that connection and that community for HR can be a very lonely profession too, because it's not like you can just go down the hall and share like, oh, this is what happened today. You're not supposed to do that. But what you can do, and this is the next area that I think is really interesting, is you talk about modernizing HR. What does that mean?
Question is, what has it meant and what is it going to mean? Because with AI, we've got that whole new frontier that no one knows what it's going to look like. So I'm going to take a step back. So for law firms in particular, when I first went into my first law firm, literally they emailed me a application. It was a PDF, a scanned copy of a paper application. That was 10 years ago. Everything was manual. The entire comp system was an Excel spreadsheet. My benefits person had a little notebook that she had tracked everybody's salary progression. I was like, you get hit by a bus, I'm meeting you at the hospital because I need that notebook. The first step in something like that, and that's not uncommon, particularly in smaller law firms, because again, they go back to, I don't think I'm a business. So they may not have a handbook. They may not have a good automated timekeeping system. So you really are working to create things from the basics and then automate those. So one of the first things I did is, all right, we're going to implement a recruiting platform where we're doing applications that are electronic and we're building out using our resources. Even at my firm now, we're changing starting in January to a different platform because what our platform now allows us to do is post jobs. It does not allow us to actively and proactively recruit and tell our story because recruiting now is about telling our story. What makes us so unique that you really should be coming to work for us? You should ignore all those other people and come to work with us. Not post and pray, but actually recruit, go after those passive candidates. Because a lot of times if they don't have a job, there's a reason, and you're just going to be the next in a long line. So how do you get those people that really are your quality candidates that you're making them think about, hey, I could be happy somewhere else? So how do you use videos to tell your story? How do you create a cadence of communication with a new hire? I always say the loneliest and most insecure time is from the time you say, I'll take the job, and your first day, because HR has wiped their hands of it. Okay, check that off the list. I'm done. And the candidate's going, I didn't dream that, did I? I'm still there, and HR has moved on, and we've got other things to do, and we're more business at that point. We've quit the sell and the marketing. We don't need to do that. We need to start at that second day communicating, establishing a cadence of communication that at 1 week out, here's some information about our benefits. A week and a half out, let me tell you what to expect on your first day. The day before, can't wait to see you tomorrow. Remember, ask for so-and-so, park so-and-so, wear this. But just something so that they still feel connected. Because in this market, their former employer is trying to get them to stay. So you need to cut that off and make them feel warm and welcome. We always have little swag things that are logoed with Butler Snow to make you feel a part of the team immediately. But I think waiting till the first day is a little late.
Oh, absolutely. You want to also enjoy that time between jobs, and you don't want to worry about, did they offer me, or do I have to touch base with somebody? Should somebody be calling me? That's a brilliant strategy. What I want to do is, we're getting down to the end, so I want to make sure that I ask one particular question. And that is, because we've talked about a lot already, if there was one thing that you wanted people to take away from listening to this podcast, what would that be?
It's two things. One, give yourself some grace. We do an incredibly hard job that is emotionally and mentally wearing. At the end of the day, you're tired. Show yourself some grace. Always ask. I heard this a long time ago. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, did I make the best decision possible given the information, time, and resources I had? If the answer is yes, then own it and let it go. The other is, don't become an island. Reach out, network, not just for what you can get, but for what you can give, because it feels incredibly good to share ideas and brainstorm. You will be so much more creative in your ideas when you're sitting helping someone else or chatting things out. We are creative when we talk. We crave human connection. Even the introverts want some human connection. They just want it in measured doses. But you still have to have that. And we've lost a lot of that with COVID. Our positions are already lonely. You're going to have to proactively make it your business to reach out, to connect on LinkedIn, to go to the meetings, to go to the networking events, to sit with someone different every time, to send the text message, just checking in, how's it going? Because I promise you, they're sitting there thinking the same thing. I have regular check-ins with people I've met over the years that don't have that group where they are. I met someone at a conference who is in a smaller area in Tennessee, and she doesn't have an ALA chapter near her. So we have check-ins once a month. We have a Zoom call. And sometimes the call is 5 minutes. How's it doing? How's your kids? And anything going on? No, great. Have a great one. Other times it's like, I am struggling with this. And it's like, let me connect you to this person who can help you.
I want to ask more questions. I want to have a whole series because there's so much we can talk about here. But I know people are going to have questions. And would it be appropriate if I gave out maybe a link to your LinkedIn profile?
Absolutely. I think your network can only expand and be helpful. I love having the people, and I get different ideas every time I talk with someone. It's a lot of fun.
It's true. Well, Don, we got a lot of good ideas from talking to you today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.